Welcome to the Bless Our Mess podcast, dedicated to strengthening marriages, families, and mental health. Taylor is a licensed therapist that brings his life's work and experiences to these crucial conversations. Life has its way of getting messy, so remember to join us, and together we can bless our mess.
Welcome back to another Therapy Thursday. I hope you are having a wonderful, positive, and blessed day. Thank you for joining us. Right, that just shows that you're committed to your own level of positivity and creating wonderful things in your life. And by doing so, it really does send, you know, whether your child is with you or not, if you're a parent or if you're single, whatever, it sends the unspoken message that self-care is important, right? Which is amazing, especially if you're a parent, because, you know, oftentimes as parents, we are doing everything in our power to, I don't know, implement parenting strategies to effectively raise our children. And despite our wonderful efforts, sometimes it still seems like our child might be misbehaving. They might create conflict. Maybe they're lacking motivation. They procrastinate a lot, underperforming at school, difficulty making friends, or so many other problems. If this is the case, it might be due to a mental health issue, okay? And that's what I'd like to spend today's episode kind of diving into, recognizing, you know, the mental health issues that our children might be struggling with, okay? Because as I was doing some research, I came across some pretty alarming stats that I wanted to cover with you first and foremost. So mental health problems and learning disorders, they are all brain health issues, right? Which affects mental health issues. So, and these are rising among more than 73 million kids of ages 1 to 17 in the U.S. alone. Okay. That's a lot of kids. So let's take a look at some of these stats. 75% of all mental health issues begin before age 25. So if your child is under the age of 25 and just, you know, exhibiting some of those behaviors I mentioned earlier, might be a mental health issue. 75% before the age of 25. 50% of children who struggle with mental health issues are unidentified and receive no treatment. 50%. That is insane. 50% of kids are going untreated, which is sad, right? They're not receiving help. So 46% of students with a mental health issue, they drop out of school. And I can attest to that just in my own work that about on nearly half end up dropping out. 65 to 75% of jailed teens have a mental illness. This also includes brain injuries. Suicide is the second leading cause of death behind accidents, right? And this is for teens ages 15 to 19. That is so sad. And it makes sense seeing that 50% are going untreated, right? 86% of teens know someone with a mental health issue. Over 86% of teens say mental health is an important topic. And over 84% say there is a stigma surrounding mental health, which is probably why they aren't advocating for themselves, right? So, although, you know, nearly half of all mental health issues, they show up by the mid-teens. Most children aren't diagnosed and they don't receive treatment until several years after symptoms first appear. And so sometimes as parents, we miss the mental health issues in our kids. And it's not because we're not looking, right? It's because sometimes we will struggle differentiating between normal and abnormal behaviors, right? Normal, abnormal behaviors, emotional health, or brain and mental wellness, okay? So parents are usually only exposed to their children and not necessarily, you know, maybe their nieces, nephews, and maybe some friends and things, but not to a wider array of children where we can kind of go, whoa, wait a second. I've witnessed a large group of children and my child is might be struggling in some of these areas. So that's one of the troubles for parents to miss the mental health issues in their children. So when we see one of our children, our child, and they seem, you know, consistently down in the dumps, constantly worrying or acting aggressively, sometimes parents will just assume, oh, that's just my child's nature or my child's temperament. They just have an attitude problem, right? But sometimes, right, we're misreading that and we're overlooking maybe an underlying brain health problem, a mental health issue, and we're just chalking it up to bad attitude, right? So when we have a knee-jerk reaction in this way, it may lead us to increase discipline and consequences, which the research shows as being very harmful to the child. So if we're disciplining a mental health issue because we're misreading it and chalking it up to, oh my gosh, they're just being disrespectful and just they're just being a jerk, you know, or whatever, and we start to consequence it, it's going to become harmful for them. Because many kids who have these issues, they're actually trying very hard to do what mom and dad and their teachers and society is asking them to do, but they fall short because of the way that their brain is wired or maybe the mental health issue that they are facing, right? So if your child is constantly struggling at school, routinely having trouble getting along with others, frequently losing their temper, take a moment to ask yourself, could this be a sign of something else? And I've had to do that with some of my children, right? Because I look at it and I see some of the happy, easygoing temperament of my some of my children. And then I see some of these concerning things. I have to ask myself, could this be a sign of something else, right? So if I see the aggressive behavior, is it just him acting out in anger, or is it a deeper rooted issue of, you know, maybe a self-esteem related thing, or maybe a very negative way of trying to cry for help, you know, or cry for love, affection and appreciation, right? So when we're taking a look at this, we want to start asking ourselves, could this be a sign of something else, right? And so if you do have that feeling that, you know, your child or your adolescent, they might have a behavioral, emotional, or learning issue, I urge you not to wait, right? Seek some help from a mental health practitioner. Maybe you could talk about it with your child's pediatrician, their healthcare provider, right? Doing so, we start to explore potential deeper rooted causes to what we're seeing superficially, right? Because small issues that remain untreated, they will grow and they will morph into big problems. But on the flip side, if we start to do early interventions, we can put a halt to some of this stuff, right? And we can drastically improve your child's future, right? Which is what we want, right? And that's our kind of the responsibility we take on as a parent, is preparing our children to navigate life without us, right? And so we want to set them up to succeed. So early interventions can help with that. you know, in some cases and sometimes just small, simple lifestyle changes can drastically help with this. You know, maybe we start shifting the diet away from highly processed foods to natural organic foods. I know that's harder to come by these days because organic is loosely defined by the FDA, but right. Or maybe we're doing some nutritional supplements, things like that. So if you're noticing problematic behaviors or emotional issues, you know, it's important to get your child on a brain kind of healthy program sooner rather than later. And, you know, previous episodes, I talked about nutritional psychiatry, right? And what we eat drastically affects the neurotransmitters, right? And so that's why I say it might be just something as simple as shifting the family's diet, not just the child's diet, right? Like everybody, because we need to model the behavior, right? Because when these issues remain untreated, they can have some serious lifelong consequences. And that could, you know, as your child gets older, make parenting exponentially more difficult. So in the short term, these issues are associated with maybe some family dysfunction, some family discord, maybe some family conflict. Maybe there's some academic underachievement and, you know, things of that nature. But over time, as they progress out of childhood through adolescent into adulthood, these issues are linked with increased risks of school dropouts, whether that's high school or college, or their trade schools, you know, their higher education. They're more likely to get in traffic accidents, more likely to engage in substance abuse, have job failure, unemployment, financial problems, obesity, divorce, and suicidal ideation, you know, thoughts and behaviors. Okay. And so short term, it's kind of like, this is inconvenient. Can't wait until this isn't a problem, right? But if it goes unchecked, right, your child could face some significant issues in their life. So after working with hundreds of adolescents, I can assure you that seeking treatment for these brain or mental health issues or maybe these learning problems, it's not like a sign of weakness for you or your child, right? But what it is a sign of is that, right, it's a sign of love for our child because we are recognizing that they might be deficient in certain coping skills or problem-solving strategies or, you know, how to manage their mental and emotional well-being. And so getting that help early and often is definitely a strength and definitely a sign of love. So when we take a look at it, here's some of the common childhood mental health issues, right, that you can start assessing your own child for. That way you can know, do I need to start getting, seeking some help, right? So we've got the ADD, ADHD, and this is characterized by a short attention span. Maybe they're easily distracted, they procrastinate, they're disorganized, and they have poor internal regulation, like their impulse, right? They lack healthy judgment and their impulse control is low. So notice that hyperactivity is not one of these five hallmark symptoms, right? It's like, wow, they just have a lot of energy. They must be ADHD. It's like, no, right? A lot of hyperactivity, high energy does not necessarily mean they have ADHD. We need to see that in combination with easily distracted, procrastinate, they're disorganized, poor impulse control, lacking healthy judgment, that stuff, okay? Anxiety disorders. So all kids will feel anxious from time to time. But what we want to do is see and evaluate if anxiety has become nearly constant, right? If that is the case, we might be looking at some form of an anxiety disorder. Depression in kids, depressive disorders, right? All kids will feel sad and they might feel hopeless at times, right? That's just part of life. You know, some days are better than others, right? But if we notice that they have this low mood and that it persists for weeks or months, that might be a sign of depression. And one thing to note in these depressive disorders with children and adolescents, one of the key symptoms and markers for childhood and adolescent depression is increased irritability, right? So if your child has, they just seem super irritable, they're easy to be angered, their fuse is short, so to speak, that might be something to consider, because sometimes they don't present as, you know, the depression that we see in the movies and on TV of like this kind of sullen, almost Eeyore type approach to life, right? Where it's just like everything is doom and gloom. It may not come off that way with children. It might be expressed through the form of irritability because, you know, as children, they're still trying to learn their emotions and how to express them. And so sometimes it just defaults to anger. Then we have PANS, which is pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders. All right, so PANS. And what PANS is, it's a mental and behavioral issue that occurs suddenly following some form of infection, right? So that could be an indicator, right, that we're dealing with more of a brain health issue rather than just, wow, my kid's a jerk, right? Because they're so difficult to deal with. So when we do take a look at it, in helping them overcome these things, it's only as effective as our ability to notice these underlying behaviors as parents, right? And one of the ways to help our children be able to recognize what's going on with them is we need to help them increase their emotional intelligence, because sometimes our knee-jerk reaction is just to chalk it up to their nature and their natural kind of temperament and outlook on life, when in reality it may not be that. And so we want to help our children foster and develop the ability to recognize what's going on with them and communicate that in a healthy way. That way we can start helping some of these children and some of these teens in those statistics I mentioned earlier receive the help that they need, right? And that 50% who are going untreated, and the 75% of all of those kids or these people will develop this in their childhood before the age of 25, right? So I know I've mentioned it before, but that's one of the key reasons why I have created the tailored therapy courses specific to helping our children grow their emotional intelligence so they can become mentally strong and emotionally resilient. So if you haven't yet checked it out, visit tailoredtherapy.com. I'm also going to be releasing a course on very shortly within the next week, the parenting strategies and approaches to parenting the difficult behaviors of ADHD kids and ODD kids, right? And this is all aimed at helping us as parents identify these underlying issues so as they grow older in life, that some of those things that we were looking at, right? The divorce, the financial problems, the obesity, the unhealthy relationships, the dropping out of school, career problems, job employment problems, right? Like they will be significantly less likely to face those difficult circumstances if we can help them get the help that they need now, right? So please share this with your people. Get the word out. Let's start helping these 50% of the kids that are going untreated get noticed so they can then start receiving the treatment that they need. So please share this episode with your people. Tag us in it so we can give you a shout out and a thanks for being a supporter and listener of the show. Hope this has provided some insight and value to you, and I look forward to the next Therapy Thursday.
Thank you for joining us on the Bless Our Mess podcast. We hope this episode has added value in your life and the lives of your loved ones. Don't miss out on future episodes by subscribing, following, and reviewing the show. Remember, when life gets messy, to join us, and together we can bless our mess.